All right, and now we're recording. Hello, listeners and fellow Toku Kaiju fans, and welcome to the second podcast for Toku Kaiju, previously known as Daikaiju. I'm your host, Derek, and my guest today is Brian. How you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing just fine. It's a good morning right now.
All right. It's afternoon where I'm at. A brief introduction for Brian is that we are part of a few Facebook groups and whatnot. Brian was actually with me last week doing the first podcast, which was based on the Godzilla anime trilogy. And he's back this week to discuss Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and the Monsterverse as a whole. We're going to start this episode with some important news and updates regarding the structure of the podcast as a whole and new discoveries that will only progress the show going forward. The first update is that the permanent name change for the podcast is Toku Kaiju. It was changed a few times in the past, but now we've decided on a permanent name. Secondly, Toku Kaiju now has a Patreon. You can become a patron and show your support at patreon.com/tokukaiju. All support is good support. We also have an Anchor channel now. Anchor is a podcast hosting company or podcast hosting site, and the podcast going forward will be done on there. You can follow, subscribe, and also call in and send your feedback, messages, and whatever at anchor.fm/tokukaiju. And now we're getting on to the topic. Last week, we discussed the anime trilogy in which we gave our thoughts about the series as a whole, as well as the individual entries. Although we had our own individual feelings regarding the movie, there was actually a lot of common ground met in certain areas. Would you agree?
Yep, definitely.
This week, we'll be discussing the Legendary Pictures Monsterverse, which kicked off with the highly successful yet extremely controversial Godzilla in 2014. In celebration of this year's sequel to the American version of the King of the Monsters, ironically titled Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So let's get started.
All right, well...
Yeah. And we're back. First off, what are your thoughts on King of the Monsters, like, from what we know now?
From what we know so far, it's looking like, I mean, one person I heard has put it as everything every Kaiju fan has really waited for. Like, this is a movie we have been waiting for. It's big, it's spectacular, it's got a big crowd that's hopefully going to go ahead and appeal to, and of course it's featuring a lot of really classic characters that are, you know, just very popular, you know, Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Mothra, and Rodan. It's going to be great to see them introduced to a wider audience and see the response.
Right. I feel the same way about it. Like, I can't wait for this movie to come out. We only got, 3 weeks left. I'm ready to go see what they're offering. Hopefully they show us what we wanted with the previous entry, 2014. Hopefully we actually get what we wanted.
Right.
As far as trailers and marketing go, their marketing strategy is different from anything we've seen. Well, for American. Now for Toho, their trailers have been, going all out with the spoilers and everything else. They're showing you monsters and everything else. And this is actually the first time with an American Godzilla movie that we've seen that sort of thing from them, from an American studio. Do you feel that the trailers are a little too spoilery?
I'll have to say, yeah, I do think that maybe they showed a little bit too much. Which is a little concerning because I don't know if it shows a worry on their part that this might, that people will not see this unless they're showing a lot in the trailers, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, even for the other one, 2014, relatively pretty successful, 500 million, right, total box office. They didn't show that much at all. There was still a lot you could see in the movie. But with this, we're seeing a lot of shots, a lot of spectacle, really. Really nice shots, too, by the way. But I don't know. I think if we saw less, it'd be better, in my opinion. A little less. I mean,
yeah, I agree. But I also see it from both sides. Because the marketing scheme this time is they're not just catering to the Godzilla fans. They're also catering to the general audience. And the general audience, when you're portraying this as an action movie, they want to see the action. Like, I've seen trailer reactions where most people are like, okay, I need to see more. Like, all kinds of other stuff. So, yeah, it's spoilery. Like, I'll even go as far as to say, yeah, it's a little too spoilery in the fact that the final official trailer, shows a lot. And then the trailer fight shows a very important spoiler. Like, oh, goodness. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it. It's on YouTube right now. But I see it from both sides because, you know, their goal is to get the general audience into the theaters. So they have to do that sort of thing. It's important because you want to bring in new fans. And just like if you were presenting the Godzilla series to a new fan, you can't necessarily show them that will bore them. Like, you can't outright show them Godzilla 1954 because they'll probably get bored, especially in today's world where people have a short attention span. They'll get bored easily. So you got to show them something like Destroy All Monsters or Final Wars, something with a lot of action in it to get them interested in it, and then go from there. Do you feel that the marketing strategy is working?
I'm not sure. From personal experience, I've had two friends who've actually seen the trailer myself. They actually kind of like Godzilla themselves, right? Kind of. But what they've told me is like, oh, well, it's looking like any other Hollywood big blockbuster, right? A lot of explosions, a lot of action. Is this really going to be anything special for the normal audience, right? Besides it's a big, boom, bombastic experience. Another thing that I wanted to go back to, like you said, the marketing, if it works. Well, I kind of saw this same strategy almost, you could say, with 2018 Pacific Rim Uprising, right? Those trailers were very, very pumping, right? If that's the right word. A lot of action in them, too. A lot happened in those trailers. A lot of Jaeger on Kaiju action. But we saw the result of that. And the box office returns weren't ideal. They weren't the biggest that they probably even wanted, if anything. So it really depends. We're going to see opening day. I think we'll have to wait till then to see how this thing even does.
Yeah. I agree that Pacific Rim Uprising, I thought that movie was okay. Like, the marketing wasn't the reason the movie failed. The reason that movie didn't do so well was because of directorial issues and all kinds of things like that. It didn't go the way that we thought it was gonna go. But I don't think we'll have that same problem with this movie. I could be wrong, but we'll just have to wait to the 31st and see. But as far as the trailers and marketing bringing in new fans, I've seen trailer reactions for the final trailer where people who are not Godzilla fans actually are interested in the series, and now they want to go back, you know, see the other entries in the movies to see what they're missing out on, to see what they're getting into, and all, and all of that.
Right.
So,
I mean, yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, if that's what you're seeing yourself, I mean, I'm not too big on trailer reactions myself. I did see a couple. People are pretty excited. I mean, these trailers, they're, admittedly, yeah, they're great. Like, they look great. I can imagine some people would want to go. But at the same time, I feel like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if as many people are seeing it, like, in general, if that makes sense, on the internet. Like, for example, most people out here, anytime they'll see that trailer, they'll go to see that trailer is when they're watching a movie. Right now, a big movie being, I guess, Avengers Endgame, right? Or whatever other movie they might see. If they see this trailer in the cinema, which is where most people, I think, are going to see it, not online, because that's not something they're interested to begin with, if that makes sense. I think they'll see it in the theaters, but after they see whatever movie they saw, I think, you know, trailers, Godzilla, even any other trailer that they might have seen, before seeing whatever movie they were going to see in the cinema, you know, the whole movie experience, I think, would have made them forget about the preview trailers, including Godzilla, especially if they saw Avengers Endgame, for an example, because it's a huge movie, that one, and that's what most people are seeing, too.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about the distribution company or whatever, Legendary has going on with them, I have been to the movies a couple of times. I've been to the theater a couple of times, and I have not seen not one theater show the Godzilla trailer. And I was sort of disappointed in that. I'm like, okay, I've seen Pikachu plastered, Detective Pikachu plastered all over the trailers and everything, but I haven't seen not one Godzilla trailer in a theater. I've seen them at least once on TV, but mostly online, mostly on YouTube, right, in the advertisements, and all kind, just online in general.
I've seen, I mean, it's marketed pretty well, I'd say, where I am from. I've gone to the movies twice pretty recently. I saw Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame really recently with my brother. In both of those, there were different theaters, right? One in Dublin, California, and one in Tracy, California. And in both cities, a little bit farther, closer apart, there was a poster for King of the Monsters, the one with Millie and, you know, big Godzilla in the background, the blue spikes. The one was just standing, the main poster, if you could say. And both times, there was actually a trailer playing for the movie. The final trailer that came out, the most recently one, and a bit of an older one, too. So, I don't know. Different states? Do we live in different states? I guess maybe it's just promoted more in California.
I think that's more of a city thing, because I know some places in Ohio, like with the toys, some places in Ohio have those toys, but where I live in Cleveland, it's very limited. The amount of toys and action figures for this movie are very limited where I am, like barely non-existent.
Well, I was talking about trailers and posters. I've probably only seen a couple in some stores. And some even in the pharmacy, NECA's.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen any posters or anything like that either. I mean, except for the one in the movie theater, but it has to be there. But besides that, I haven't seen any posters.
Right. Well, I mean, I hope that whoever sees these trailers, we can just hope, right? That's all it is at this point, that they see it, that it's interesting enough.
Yeah, I'm in a family of Godzilla fans, so we're all going to see it the day it comes out, and possibly more times after that.
Right.
Yeah. Now we're going to go into the segment where we review the current installments to the MonsterVerse. Those being Godzilla 2014 and Kong Skull Island. As far as Godzilla 2014 is concerned, how did you feel about that? Do you feel that it was a disappointment at all? What are your general feelings about it?
Oh, no, I really liked that movie, actually. Very first day I saw it, I was exhilarated. I was very thrilled. By the time it ended, I was like, wow, this is great. Yeah, I loved it when I saw it the first time. A couple other times seeing it, it's like, yeah, it's kind of boring. It's kind of, well, I know what happens. I've seen it a lot of times. Not very recently, though. But I think it was a good movie. I thought it did what it was supposed to do well. I didn't really find it disappointing. Thought it was good. Thought it was a good entry. Thought they did what they had to do. Good reintroduction to America after 98, definitely.
Well, yeah, anything is better than 98, I guess. After that was right. Atrocity. And it's very fun to watch and exhilarating every time. But I do feel like the ads misrepresented it. As you know, when the ads, there was the actual new monsters were hidden. The trailers and posters were advertised portraying Godzilla as the villain, the destroyer, the going back to his 1954 roots as well as the 1984 roots.
Right.
But that's not what the final product was. The final product was basically a Gamera version of Godzilla, a Heisei Gamera version of Godzilla.
I heard that as well.
Yeah, where he's an anti-hero. He doesn't have an allegiance. He's there to take on other monsters that threaten humanity or threaten Earth. But I do feel that false advertisement kind of hurt the movie in the long run, critically, because people were expecting a different type of movie than what they actually got. How do you feel about Godzilla's screen in the movie?
Screen time in the movie?
Yeah. Like, okay. How much he was shown?
I thought it was fine for what they gave us, of course. Yeah, it was fine. There was no problem with me and how much they showed him. I know there is for some other people. But when they showed him, he was a big presence, I think, and that was good in itself, I think. I mean, every time I, in the theater itself, when I saw him, it was like, okay, whoa. I've been following the movie for a long time, so actually seeing him portrayed just in the film, every single little moment of it was, I was at the edge of my seat, just because I was a little younger, and at the same time, I thought that when they showed him, they showed him well. Also, back to the marketing, I mean, I don't know if it hurt it, because when I was there, when he went ahead, defeated the Mudos, walked back in the sea, there was cheering, clapping in my whole theater. People liked it. People liked the new portrayal. And even I was like, oh, so he's like almost heroic now. I'm like, more like the Showa series at the end of it, 70s Showa series Godzilla. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting take on it. That's something maybe we haven't even seen in a while. Less rogue than some of the other ones. So I liked it.
You're right. Like many of the older fans who were used to the 70s Showa era Godzilla, where he's portrayed as a kid-friendly hero, they liked that version. So I guess it was okay to have him portrayed as not the villain. I mean, that was okay. Like I said, what I meant by it hurt the film, or I feel like it hurt the film critically, is that, you know, people complained about it. Basically, the news reports, when it first came out, said, what
was that? I'm sorry. Oh, it's really cutting off.
That aspect goes.
But can you repeat that? Sorry, the audio glitched up.
Oh, I was just saying that. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I was just saying that it hurt the film critically in regards to expectation versus going back to expectations versus reality. People expected something different, and what we ended up getting was not that. So news outlets, when it was first being put out, when the news reports was coming out and reviews were coming out, it was like,
yeah, maybe. I don't know. The general movie audience, when they came in there, maybe they were expecting a bit of a horror movie. The bad or the scary parts of it or whatever, that they kind of, if they expected that, they wanted that. I felt that the Mutos, the enemy monsters, delivered on that. So I mean, they got what they got, scary monsters. And if Godzilla was going to be good, but the Mutos, they're going to be the threatening force in it, then why not? I think in the long run, actually, it may have even helped the movie, because if you make Godzilla more likable, more accessible to just the general audience in general, if you make him more likable, like, I mean, even a superhero, that's what people like, then ultimately they like them more. They'll like him more, the character more, and will be invested in seeing movies. You know, they'll like seeing this cool guy who kicks other monsters' ass instead of this big asshole monster who stomps on people's city. I think the former is what people are going to like.
I mean, I can agree with that. But going back to Godzilla screen time, I didn't really have a problem with them not showing him often, because like we say time and time again, that happens in the majority of Godzilla films. My issue is that, like, his presence was known, or his presence was felt. They barely mentioned his name. They barely saw him as much of a threat compared to the Mutos. It was all about, let's destroy the Mutos, let's destroy the Mutos. What do we do about Godzilla? So, yeah. They, from the first time he showed up, they didn't see him as a They didn't see him much as a threat compared to the Mutos, and that kind of threw me off. Even in a good guy sense, talk about him. So, in scenes where he's not, it would have at least been good to, you know, talk about him, mention him in some sort of way, like they do in all the other ones. Even when he's not on screen, they're like, all right, how do we deal with Godzilla? What is this about Godzilla? What is that about Godzilla? All kinds of other stuff. Also, in my opinion, this was Gareth Edwards' love letter to Spielberg and other directors in other movies, like Alien, Jaws, Jurassic Park. But where they, what they did right, he did all right in. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think, of course, if he wanted to call back to some of those Jaws movies and Jurassic Park, stuff like that, Spielberg productions, I thought that was, he did it well, of course. And, I mean, the general audience has always liked those movies. Those have been big hits, really good movies, by the way. I like some of them as well. More Jaws than Jurassic, or more Jurassic Park than Jaws. I haven't really ever liked Jaws, but Jurassic Park, I love it. It's a great movie. And so, even being an homage to them, that's fine. That's great, even. And it made it, again, more accessible to a wider audience, which is ultimately what we should be wanting, right? More people to get invested into this franchise, just get into it, maybe look at more into it. What happened with a lot of my friends.
Yeah, I've actually never seen Jaws, but I do know about it. And with Jurassic Park and Alien and all that stuff, I've seen all of them. But what I mean by it being a love letter, Godzilla 2014 being a love letter to those movies, and where they succeeded, where this one failed, is that with the cutaways. Like, for example, with Jurassic Park, it takes a while to get to the T-Rex. The main villain of the movie is the T-Rex. But once you see the T-Rex, there's no cutaways, there's no...
Yes, hello? Yes, hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Okay. Did you hear anything I said?
No.
Maybe. I'm in a poor connection area, apparently. One of us is. But going back to what I was saying, I felt that it was a love letter to Steven Spielberg as far as where those movies succeeded. This one really didn't succeed, and that was with the cutaways and Godzilla 2014. With Jurassic Park, Jaws, and Aliens, once the monster was shown, it was shown. There was no cutaways. There was no, let's go talk about something else and anything like that. It was on when it got on. With Godzilla 2014, there was a few cutaways. Like, you get the Hawaii airport scene where they, you know, introduce Godzilla, and then as soon as the fight is starting, they cut over to a kid watching it on TV, and thank God that kid is hard-headed because his mother told him to turn the TV off. And you know, thank goodness he's hard enough to not turn the TV off, because otherwise we would not have seen that fight at all, even if it's on TV. And most of the, you know, destruction scenes, the military attack scenes, and all kinds of other stuff happened in a news report, which is reminiscent of Gareth Edwards' first film, Monsters, from 2010, where most of the monster scenes were shown on a TV rather than actually being there. Very few monster scenes were actually shown. And that also, I also feel like that hurt the movie a little bit, because people came to a monster movie to see the monsters, and you cut away from it, not once, but quite a few times. But it also helped me as far as the Golden Gate Bridge scene. That was one piece of the final fight, and it kept progressing through there. So that's where the cut scenes, but it didn't help the first initial battle. That would have been nice to see. And it also would have been nice to see some destruction in between then, but it is what it is. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I have no sour opinions or thoughts about how it all went. I'm not saying that I totally like it, that it's even beyond criticism, but I don't know. I don't think, I've never really been one that's ever thought that the cutaways or whatever are something to complain about. Just me. Just maybe my.
So you were okay with it?
Yeah.
That's understandable. I mean, it's not everybody's taste. Some people are like, no, show me the fight. Some people are like, I'm okay with waiting. But yeah, that just goes into the expectation versus reality thing. Some people went in with too high expectations. But I do feel that the expectations were justified, because before 2014, we had to wait 10 years. And some people were like, all right, 10 years, that's just, that's the best we can get after 10 years. Okay. But I was fine with it. It took a while to get used to it, but I got used to it eventually.
Right. I think it delivered what it, I think it delivered fairly what anyone could have expected anyways. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. Worth the wait anyway for that experience in itself, that, you know, just watching it the first time. I think I was going to mention, I think the reason Gareth Edwards himself said that he did a lot of cutaways in this movie from the fight is because I saw in the special features of the DVD really recently, he was like, that if he wanted to cut away from like the initial Mudo fight because people were hyped up, they're ready to see action, and then boom, he cuts away because he wanted to save all the thrills or that kind of spectacle for the third act, the final battle between Godzilla, the female Mudo, and the male Mudo at the end in San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't feel that's a question of why. I just think for most people, that's like, really? But, okay. Moving on to Skull Island. Kong Skull Island came out in 2017, I think.
Yeah.
All right. It came out in 2017. I think that was a right step forward for the MonsterVerse, because where Godzilla 2014 didn't show things right out the box, Kong Skull Island show what people came to see. Right out the box, we saw Kong, military fights, destruction, people getting killed, people getting eaten, other monsters. It didn't hold back, whereas the Godzilla 14 film held back. How do you feel about Kong Skull Island?
Well, that's strange because, yeah, you're right. There was a lot more action in Skull Island in 2014. But when I, it's weird because initially getting out of Godzilla 2014, I was very satisfied. I thought it was great. I thought what I saw was a good depiction of monster action. I thought it was fine. I really liked it first time getting out, despite all the cuts and all that. And yeah, of course, going back on it, there's a lot less than Skull Island in terms of just showing the title monsters, characters, creatures, basically. But with Kong Skull Island, when I got out of seeing that with my siblings that the day it came out, I was actually kind of unsatisfied, just because I guess there was maybe too much action. Maybe I'm not as invested in those characters as the one in the last one. Characters, of course, being both the actors and even the monsters. Maybe just not as big of a Kong fan, but I have liked previous King Kong films, especially 2005. But I don't know. I guess it coming down to taste, maybe I just like Godzilla and the little cuts that Gareth did with 2014 a lot more than mostly everything in Kong Skull Island. I still like it, though, but I don't know. Not my favorite.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's strange. I walked out of 2014 satisfied. I walked out of Kong Skull Island not as much as I thought I could have.
Different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I chuck it up to.
Yep, and now they're going, in next year, 2020, they're going to have Kong fight Godzilla. How do you feel about that? Because most people are doing speculations and they're very skeptic on how Legendary is going to portray that, because Kong has been known to not be very, you know, big compared to Godzilla. Godzilla in King of the Monsters is 393 feet, approximately 119 meters. Kong, how tall is Kong in Kong Skull Island?
100 feet.
Exactly. 100 feet tall. That's not very big, but Kong Skull Island did mention that he was still growing.
Right.
So, and it's been a long, it's been a long time from where the movies take place. Kong Skull Island takes place in 1973. Godzilla takes place in 2014. And Godzilla King of the Monsters take place in 2019, 5 years later. So from 1973 to 2019, I think that's plenty of time for Kong to get as tall as Godzilla and measure up. Now, where my skepticism comes in is, you know, his actual ability to fight Godzilla and be a worthy contender for the King of the Monsters, because unlike Godzilla, Kong has no power. What is he gonna combat Godzilla with except brute strength? How do you feel about that?
Okay, so there's a lot of feelings that I fluctuated throughout the years about the whole premise even of Godzilla versus Kong. First time I heard about the whole project being announced, official or whatever, totally against it. I didn't like the idea at all, just because I thought that King Kong and Godzilla in this point in history or in cinema, I guess, I thought those two should stay separated and separated, basically different. But I've grown to the idea a lot more. I'm excited to see it as well after King of the Monsters. But as for him growing just to 300 feet, just like that, that's still something that I've had my own ideas about how I would do it, right? I'm in a notion of he's still small, he's still growing. Like, sure, go ahead and do what you want, guys. Whatever explanation you're going to have for it, of course, he has to get bigger to fight Godzilla. But I've always felt that's a bit of an unsatisfying just explanation of, in my opinion, it just hasn't sat as well as it could have for me. Because in Skull Island, we already see him. He's fighting. He's robust. He's taking a lot of skull crawler tail, right? He already has the sense that he's oldish and a fighter and an adult. So them saying, oh, but don't worry, he's still small. It's like, nah, this guy looks, he's fit. This looks like a guy at his prime, a gorilla at his prime. So him growing even more than that, just to fight Godzilla, it's like, I don't know. I could even say it would take me out of the whole experience, the whole believability, just because, you know, the reason that he's that big is to fight this movie, and they're doing that to make a lot of money. Or because it's what the fans want, but ultimately it's to make money or whatever. If that makes sense at all, like, if anything, I just prefer he stays around, he grows 200 feet and fights the 350-foot Godzilla that way. Like, almost David versus Goliath. That's the kind of way I would go ahead and do that if I was in charge of anything at all, but I'm not.
Right, I can see that. To be honest, I see the whole movie taking place to the equivalent of Batman versus Superman, and being that, yeah, they fight each other a little, but then there'll come another threat, and they have to team up to fight that threat.
Yeah, that would, I mean, it'd be so strange for them to go ahead and do that, because BVS in itself wasn't as successful of a film as it had the potential to, of course, be. Batman and Superman, biggest superheroes of all time. Maybe it's just because the film itself, a lot of people didn't find good, but I actually saw it myself, of course, in theaters, and I've seen it a lot of times afterwards. I liked it the first time as well, but I see the problems that there are with that thing, definitely. A lot of problems. But I can still watch it. It's enjoyable. It's big action. It's fun. And they did what they did, right, with that movie. Them doing the same thing where it's some big enemy at the end, Godzilla and Kong fight the enemy after fighting each other. Well, you know, at this point, it's like, I don't know if I'm invested enough to say, oh, I don't want them to do that. That's ridiculous. Or or don't do that. This would be way better. Just let him fight. I'm like, you got to do whatever you want. I'll watch it. Hopefully I enjoy it. That's it. That's what it is for me with these movies so far.
Right. Well, the good news is we don't have much longer to wait because, correct me if I'm wrong, but Godzilla vs. Kong has wrapped filming.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that too. Well, I'm not exactly sure, but if you say so. if that's true, which I'm guessing it is, of course, then it's great. I'm glad we're getting it this soon because, of course, 2014, we had to wait a long time to get that. In 2010, I think they first announced it. I've been following it for a long time when I was a little kid. And then, of course, you know, the monsters took a long time, 5 freaking years. So it's very different that we're just getting it right now. Kong, a year after, you know, the monsters. Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's good also. It's a wise choice of the studio to make just because Godzilla will still be fresh in people's mind right after King of the Monsters came out, even more so than King Kong. So that one coming out just a year after, I think it's, yeah, it's great. Especially 2020.
Right. So. March 2020, next year.
Right.
Now it goes into post-production, meaning trailers will soon be coming out, and there'll be more speculation, but more theories and all kinds of other stuff. But people will have a more general idea of what we're dealing with as, in regards to that movie.
Right.
And as far as possible future films, where do you see the MonsterVerse going in the future?
Where do I see it going? There's a big difference between where I see it going and maybe where I wanted it to go. Because where I see it going is, I think it might just end with Godzilla versus Kong. If not end there, then I see maybe a Destroy All Monsters type movie kind of ending it with all the monsters that have shown up thus far. Rodan, Mothra, Godzilla, Kong, maybe some Skullcrawlers, anything from Skull Island, whatever else, versus some big enemy, maybe. If it doesn't end with King Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong, I'm sorry, 2020, then I think realistically, it would end with that kind of movie right afterwards, a couple of years or 1 year after. But what I've always wanted to see is just the whole big universe of these movies, of course. I have a list actually right here of what I've always wanted this series or what future installments I would like to see in the future of the MonsterVerse, because I think it has a lot of potential to be huge.
Yeah. What are some of the movies that you would like to see?
Well, there's a lot right here. Just saying them in order, right? Right after Kong versus Godzilla, I'd like a Journey to the Center of the Earth type movie, because the Hollow Earth whole ecosystem, right, that was discussed actually in Kong Skull Island, where John Goodman's character is like, oh yeah, the whole Earth is hollow, that's where these Skullcrawlers are coming out of. I think that in itself has a big potential to, you know, we could have a movie down there, people explore this whole other place that nobody's really known about, and I think it's really cool that it could just be filled to the brim with all kinds of animals or monsters or mudos, whatever you want to call them, including even perhaps, I don't know, maybe any Toho monsters. If Toho likes Godzilla vs. Kong and King of the Monsters enough, maybe they just lend a whole big roster over to Legendary, and that whole environment could have, I've always thought Baragon would fit well in there, maybe.
I mean, yeah. I do remember Michael Dougherty saying that he didn't confirm anything. He didn't make any promises or anything like that. All he said was possibly if we sell enough tickets and make enough money off of it, there'll be a chance of more movies. So
that'd be great.
What I'm ultimately seeing is for the finisher of this current MonsterVerse, I see a Destroy All Monsters plot.
Right.
The 17 monsters and counting. So.
Right. Yeah. If we don't see all those monsters do anything, of course, that is the King of the Monsters. Because, you know, something I feel people may be expecting out of King of the Monsters, besides Rodan, Mothra, King Ghidorah, the four big ones, is maybe seeing whatever the new things, these 17 monsters, are going to do. Because when they hear, oh, there's 17 monsters in this movie, I feel people might expect just a huge, colossal throwdown, destruction in cities all over the place, of course involving all these Mudos, if that makes sense. So if we don't get that in this movie, then of course in a Destroy All Monsters type movie would be good. But if there are 17 monsters that we could end up seeing later on in the future play a big part in a Destroy All Monsters type movie, I almost feel that I'd like it better if they were monsters we've already seen, just because this is a universe with Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Rodan, etc. And Destroy All Monsters, of course, featured other characters like Manda, Baragon, Anguirus, and Varan, Gorosaurus, etc. again. So I'd like it more if we do get a Destroy All Monsters type movie at some point in the future. I prefer to see classic monsters with new designs taking a part of it, as opposed to filled with mostly new monsters, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So the possibilities are endless, basically. They could do anything that they can think of, as long as it sells tickets and makes money.
Right, right. One idea that I've also had is, I mentioned the movie before, right? But Pacific Rim, would you like a crossover with Godzilla and Pacific Rim, or the Monsterverse and the Pacific Rim universe? I've had a few ideas that could happen, but you don't like it. I hear that.
No, it wouldn't make sense.
And so, why not? I'd like to hear your thoughts.
There are two. Okay, first off, Pacific Rim takes place a little too far in the future. And Godzilla is more realistic.
Sure.
Like, I don't really know how to explain it. I just don't feel that it would work right in that sense.
Yeah, I understand. With the Monsterverse, excuse me, tone, it's just been a little bit more grounded, I guess that's what you want to say. Pacific Rim is a lot more about the spectacle, the fight. I mean, it's big robots versus big monsters. But the way I've always wanted to, I just thought that it's something I've wanted to see, right? Just me personally. I think that the way they would or could or should do that, if they were to go ahead and do that, of course, if that even happens, is what if maybe the Breacher, the aliens, the Breachers, is them making maybe some kind of portal to a different universe, right? Let's say they've always been making different portals, different universes, different Earths, one of them being the Monsterverse, perhaps. And if they show up, maybe they're kaiju of their series, right, into the Monsterverse. I think that'd be a good way to go ahead and, of course, then introduce the Jaegers. They go into this alternate Earth. And if the Monsterverse goes even forward, even more so than the Destroy All Monsters movie, then I think that'd be a cool way to go ahead and introduce mechas to the Monsterverse, such as Mogira, the Jaguar, or even Mechagodzilla, because if the humans from the Monarch, the Monsterverse, get introduced to the Jaegers, they'll have that technology to go ahead and develop their own counter, if that makes sense, to the Mudos, to the Godzilla-type monsters that they've been dealing with this whole time.
Yeah, I get that. And it's a far-fetched idea, but it's not like I wouldn't be down with it if they said, we're going to do it. I'm like, hoorah, go ahead, yes. But as far as, you know, my personal thoughts, I feel like that'd be a little bit too far-fetched and too unrealistic.
But right, right.
Who knows?
I mean, so far, I'm looking at King of the Monsters. There's a lot of the grounded, gritty realism, as some people may put it, from, I guess, 2014 I don't know. I'm just looking at it and I'm saying this movie's kind of tossed it perhaps out the window, if you could say that. Because, I mean, just with King Ghidorah shooting lightning out of his wing, his heads, of course, and Godzilla's atomic breath getting a lot more powerful, he uses it a lot more. These monsters are coming out of lava, they're glowing, and they have a huge energy attack, basically, and they're moving real fast. I'm saying that I'm just looking at what this, the direction this franchise is going, the MonsterVerse, and I'm thinking, I mean, realism, is that really something that they're concerned about anymore? Doesn't look like it, in my opinion.
Well, the monsters can defy reality, but the overall presence or film shouldn't defy reality as much. Like, I don't have a problem with the monsters doing things that are beyond belief because, I mean, outright, it's unbelievable that they would exist. Not only that, but walk in a realistic situation. From what we know about physics and gravity and all that other scientific mumbo-jumbo, we know that they shouldn't be able to even exist. Yet, in this reality, they do. So, as far as powers go, I would expect them to have some outlandish, unbelievable powers, but in a more realistic scenario.
Right. Well, I wouldn't even know how to respond to that, but I'll be honest, of course. I mean, would you eventually be down with maybe the MonsterVerse introducing something like Mechagodzilla or even Mogera into the series?
That would be the most outlandish they could go in this MonsterVerse. I feel that that's the most outlandish they could take it.
Okay. Well, sure. Just because big mechas are outlandish. But I don't know. I feel this could go crazy off the rails, fully science fantasy, irrealistic if they really wanted to. And it just opens a whole lot of doors where you could introduce basically anything. Kind of like a Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's like you started off with what? The Iron Man movies, the Hulk movie, Captain America, or whatever. And those movies, I'd say, they were a little bit more grounded, a little more down to earth, if that makes sense. They're gritty. They took place in a cave and in the real world, right? But eventually, to go ahead and exploit the whole, what can you even call it, the whole mythos of their whole universe with Marvel, with magic, gods, all this. They had to introduce things like Thor, outer space, eventually getting to Doctor Strange, all sorts of other magical or irrealistic, really realistic characters, right?
And right.
It off. People love it. People really like it, right? So that's just my thoughts. I mean, I'm saying, why couldn't the MonsterVerse maybe do the same?
Yeah, I could see that. And the way I see it, if you were to go that route, you'd have to make it known within that movie. Somebody would have to come out and ask, okay, is this reality right now? Like, this is happening, and this should not be happening, but it's happening. Is this real?
Well, I mean, just seeing a giant monster in itself, even if it's not shooting lasers like crazy, even if it's like something simple like what? Anguirus walking down the street, destroying a city, I'd probably say the same thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that the fact that monsters even exist, because in 2014, they did have a realization like, okay, this is really happening. We have to deal with giant monsters now.
Yeah. I think you get me.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back for the ending of the show.
All right.
And that's the show. I hope our listeners had a great time. I sure did. How about you?
It's great. I think I've really enjoyed expressing all of these thoughts that I've always had about just the whole series, basically, the MonsterVerse. Like I said, I think the whole series, a lot of potential. This summer's Godzilla Kingdom Monsters, I think, has that potential as well, just in itself as a movie. Very excited to see it. I hope it's great. I hope people like it. Most of all, I hope the general audience takes a liking to this thing, and thus the characters, and thus Godzilla, the series in general. Yep.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was a pleasure having you on, Bryant, for joining me in this discussion, and I hope we're able to do it again very soon.
Right, right.
To the listeners, please be sure to follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/DJ07 and all other major platforms, including Anchor, under the same username, Toku Kaiju, that's TokuKaiju. And give me your feedback on what you think of the podcast. All criticism is good criticism as long as it's constructive. Also, make sure to become a patron on Patreon at Toku Kaiju and show your support to the cause of making these podcasts even better. Do you have any social media platforms you'd like to mention?
Myself? Not really. Don't really have a YouTube channel that's too big on all this stuff. On social media, though, I have this one page. It's on Facebook. It's just called King Ghidorah. Me and a couple other admins run it. If anyone wants to go over there, give it some likes, they're welcome to.
All right. Once again, that's the show for the second Toku Kaiju podcast. We hope you enjoy it and hope you continue to listen and support. Thank you and have a great day.